Caduceus Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is glamour, and before we get started on our topic glamour, I'd like to announce that we have a special offer for you, so maybe later on I'll go into greater depth with it, and I'm sure you'll like to take advantage of that offer. But I'd also like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. Lucis Trust sponsors Inner Sight. And Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature. And the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. People are being rapidly disillusioned and will consequently see more clearly. World glamour is being steadily removed. Well, we have to find out what Alice Bailey's definition of glamour is, but before we do, what signs do you see that people are being rapidly disillusioned, as Alice Bailey says, and why is that good?
I know, it doesn't sound like much fun, does it?
No.
I'm being disillusioned, oh, thank you. Well, I think the nature of the times seems to be that all kinds of things that used to be hidden, submerged, suppressed, perhaps you could say, are coming to light. The Bible says in this particular time at the end of the age, all things shall be shouted from the housetops. And it does seem that a lot that has been buried for a long time, scandals, exposés, various misbehavior on both the personal and the corporate level is all being exposed. And as a result, I think people are being disillusioned. If we think back to, what was it, 30 years ago, the Watergate experience, to me, was the start of disillusionment with the American government, in the sense that people had probably trusted their leadership a lot more before that. Vietnam also was a disillusioning experience, and in the aftermath, I think people are a lot more cynical, and I suppose they feel that cynicism means they're more clear-eyed, but the two don't necessarily go together.
No, I think this is disillusionment or illusion or glamorous period that we're going through right now is still with us. There's a lot more disillusion, I think, over the war in Iraq, mm-hmm. and terrorism itself and how that's working out, and there's a lot that's about that that's coming to the surface. All the negative aspects of that are coming to the surface.
Maybe we should try to clarify what is meant by glamour, because it's a term used in a lot of the books of Alice Bailey. Right. There's even a particular book, Glamour, A World Problem, that she wrote that deals with the subject intensively. A lot of people might think of something like Fredericks of Hollywood when they think of glamour.
Vanity, I guess. The connotation of vanity comes up when I hear the word glamour.
Yeah, Vanity Fair is an example of glamour, the sophistication that it might connote in some people's minds, the whole Hollywood aspect. I think it has a kind of a positive quality to a lot of people, and yet if you really study the dictionary definition, it's not all that positive, and certainly in the writings of Alice Bailey it's not. It refers to the phantasmagoria, the fog, you could say, that is especially associated with the emotional realm of life. And it's a word that includes all of the deception and fog and miasma and illusion and misunderstanding and misinterpretation that have to do with emotional reaction and emotional sensitivity, and that make it so difficult to communicate with others, to make ourselves clear, and to see our own life and our own path clearly. This is all obscured by the fog of glamour, of emotional reaction.
And fog, I think, is a good symbol of what this glamour really does to the people, because fog is a combination of water and air,
mm-hmm.
and coming together and creating a fog that obscures one's vision. And since this glamour has to do with the emotional plane, the astral plane, as it's called, that is symbolized by water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the excuse me, the mind principle is at work also, and the air
mm-hmm.
is a symbol of the mind,
mm-hmm.
and the water is a symbol of the astral nature, the emotional nature, and when these two work together, it creates a fog.
Yes, Alice Bailey says that the very simple, mentally undeveloped people are relatively free of glamour, because they aren't troubled by nuance or subtlety. They see everything in black and white. Things are very clear to the mentally undeveloped person. They aren't aware of a great deal of mystery and subtlety to life. But as the mind begins to awaken, the air, as you say, that's when it sets up a reaction in combination with the emotional life, which is still also very active. And the two together create steam or fog.
And this is kind of an inevitable stage that people are going through, because it's just a part of the evolving process that human beings go through. We all tend to be obscured by our own creations, in effect, because, well, take the Hollywood type of glamour.
Mm-hmm.
Most of that glamour is what is projected onto a famous person, an actor or an actress or some musician or whoever. But it's the image that we have in our minds of this person that may not have much to do with the real person,
mm-hmm.
but it's the image that we project, that we create. And so we create kind of our own fog, our own illusions, our own glamours around ourselves, and then project them onto this person. So it just kind of builds, and people react to that, and it builds more glamour.
You make an interesting point when you say that we project onto, say, a famous person, a star, or whatever, any public figure, what we imagine they are all about. And that reminds me of a statement in the Ageless Wisdom that is also found in any dictionary definition of glamour, that it's a reversal or an inversion of reality. And I know the French translation of Alice Bailey's book, Glamour, A World Problem, refers to it as mirage. And a mirage is an inversion, isn't it, of an inverted reflection of some distant object. That's a mirage. It's inverted. Well, that's the nature of glamour, that according to the Ageless Wisdom, the emotional plane is actually reversed. Our perception of the emotional realm is an inversion of reality.
It's a little bit like the lens in your camera.
Oh, that's a good image.
There's
yeah.
In the old days, the old big box cameras they had, there was like one lens,
mm-hmm.
and you look through that, and the image would be turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd have to have another lens to turn it right side up again. So, in effect, you have the mind and the emotional nature acting as a lens, what the ideas that come from the mind through the astral plane or through the emotional plane gets reversed, and then that tends to be what we pick up and is impressed upon our consciousness in the mind nature, in the brain consciousness.
And when you said that we tend to project these perceptions onto others, that again is an aspect of that inversion or reversal, because what we are seeing in others so often, especially the negative, critical aspects of our experience of other people, are really reflections of what's in us, we're told. But we don't claim them for ourselves. We project them, as you say, onto others. I find that realization really fascinating to ponder, because if you think about it, an aspect of glamour is that the things that we see in other people that especially annoy us and especially capture our attention and really become kind of things that really bug us, you could say, are aspects of behavior or whatever that are probably unclaimed in our own consciousness. And we just project them onto others or see them in others, don't see them in ourselves. That's, again, the aspect of reversal that has to do with glamour and distortion.
And we carry around these distortions with us. We create them just in our in our thought life. Every thought that we think and every emotion that we feel is something that we are creating all the time, and it becomes part of our aura, part of our mental and emotional body, and we carry these illusions and glamours around with us, and they all add to the great illusion that's surrounding this planet. And if you read in the writings of Alice Bailey, the writer quite often talks about this emotional mess. Mm-hmm. Actually, she uses mm-hmm. the word mess to describe the atmosphere in which humanity lives now.
And they mistake it for reality. We mistake it for reality. But what we are really referring to is the feeling and the sensation through which we grope our way in life. Now and then we might have a clear perception. Now and then we might have a really sharply defined thought. But a lot of the time we are feeling, desiring, sensing, reacting, and all of these are characteristics of the emotional realm. And that's where all the fog and the misperception, the inversion, occur. And we call it life.
Well, for those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, glamour. And as I mentioned earlier, there's a special offer from Luce's Publishing Company, and that special offer is a book, the title of which is Ponder on This. And Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, including extracts on the subject of glamour. So if you'd like this special order, well, the specialness of it is that it's available for $16. And generally we charge a bit more because we have to charge for shipping and handling. So the discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. So what you need to do is, if you'd like the book, Ponder on This, you have to send a check or a money order to Luce's Publishing. Luce's is L-U-C-I-S. Luce's Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And that's a check or money order for $16. Ask for the book, Ponder on This. And by the way, you'll only get the free shipping and handling if you mention that you heard about it on Inner Sight. So send the check or money order for $16 to Luce's Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We appreciate the support that you've given us in the past, and we hope you continue to give us financial support. Both large and small donations are certainly appreciated. That's what keeps us on the air, and we certainly thank you. And It's touching to know that so many people out there are interested in values and positive ways of looking at life and ways of generating compassion towards other people. So making donations to us certainly keeps us on the air, and we can continue talking about these topics, all of which, by the way, once again, come from the works of Alice Bailey. So if you would like to continue to donate, send the donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. And if you'd like a general package of information about who we are, what we're all about, I guess probably to sum it up in a very brief way, to answer the most frequently asked question, no, we're not a religion. We're a spiritual philosophy organization. There are people who are interested in the Bailey books and in speaking about them, interacting about them, who come from all walks of life and all different backgrounds of religions. So if you'd like a package of general information, contact us at 1-866-695-8247. And certainly through that general package of information, you'll find out a lot about Lucis Trust. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Our website, by the way, www.lucistrust.org. And on that website, you can key into all our previously archived library of radio shows and just so many different topics that you might find interesting, a multiple number of them. So take a look at our website, www.lucistrust.org. And I was thinking before about glamour and what would be from what I'm perceiving, my definition of glamour is things that are really not essential to the core of life, but more or less fringes that people get caught up in. Would that be an accurate understanding of it?
Well, I suppose that's part of the definition of glamour, that it has to do with the peripheral and the unessential. It's really the emotional reaction to life rather than the mental perception of reality. If you think of a blind man groping his way in a lighted room, but he, lacking sight, cannot see anything, maybe that's a good image for the person who is encumbered by glamour. He has to grope his way through life rather than see clearly. And we have the two great world teachers who taught us how to overcome this kind of blindness, this glamour, the Buddha and the Christ. The Buddha was the first to teach us that desire is what keeps us enmeshed in glamour. The desire for things, for people, for sensation, for material pursuits, all kinds of desire keep us imprisoned in our emotional wants rather than seeing life clearly as it is. The only way we can see life and participate in it with open eyes, he said, is by learning detachment. And he left us with a course that we can follow called the Noble Middle Way, which is the path that leads between the pairs of opposites, cleaving neither to the right nor the left, you could say, following the light which is generated by the light of reality, and not being attached to anything that belongs to the physical or emotional realm, is liberation from glamour. The Christ also taught an example in the Garden of Gethsemane. If people know their New Testament, he was tempted three times in the garden before his crucifixion, and he reacted to each temptation by enunciating a clear principle. Again, we come back to simplicity rather than complexity. He didn't revert to the analytical mind that so many of us think is highly developed today, especially with the technology being what it is. Our analytical minds are developing very fast. But he didn't revert to that aspect of the mind because that only creates further obfuscation. He resorted to clear, direct, simple principles. And that's another way to escape from glamour.
And escaping from glamour is really what it's all about, because that's essentially what the mission of these two great initiates and world teachers is, was, and still is, the escaping and liberation from the world of glamour and the world of illusion, which are the emotional plane and the mental plane, the lower mental plane. And as you say, it's activity of the lower mind that creates so much of the illusions that surround us, because it subdivides everything it sees. It analyzes everything. It separates everything. And if one thing is sure about the spiritual world, it is the oneness of the world, the oneness that we have lost sense of.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tend to separate everything in the world, and that causes a lot of the illusion that we're trying to escape from.
This aspect of the mind also keeps us focused on the material outer plane of life, where so much glamour dominates, because the early human being had a sense of the unity of life, as you say, and of the spiritual realm. And in our development of the scientific technological mind, which was necessary, and I think is to the great credit of humanity, it also is this aspect of the mind that keeps us imprisoned on the material plane and blind to the spiritual reality behind the outer realm. That's, again, a factor of glamour, that we think the outer tangible realm is all there is. That's what makes us imprisoned in our desires for money, for fame, for beauty, for whatever you think makes life exciting and fulfilling.
All of these glamours are what drives the world economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's what drives us into war, ironically. And it's what causes so much pain. We think we need all of these things, and there's a great desire, and advertising creates the desire, it enhances the desire and builds up the desire, and we think we need all of this, and then it ends up being kind of empty in the long run, and we realize only later that we've been following an illusion.
And we can see how this is starting earlier and earlier with television for children. It creates a desire for brand names and specific material items in very young children. They know all the names and the exact type and style of what they want. That is, I think, downright wicked. Because it's compelling children from a very early age to desire, to want, to crave, and it's glamour, and it's done with a great deal of awareness and skill by the advertising industry.
And the parents, unfortunately, buy into it, and they can't. It's very difficult to fight against it, I think, because we're all kind of caught up in this emotional whirlwind.
But we can free ourselves of it, and the great spiritual teachers have given us guidelines for how we release ourselves. In the writings of Alice Bailey, there's a very interesting statement about how to free ourselves from glamour. She says, a deep distrust of one's reactions to life and circumstance. When such reactions awaken and call forth criticism, separativeness or pride is of value. She says these qualities, criticism, separativeness, and pride, are the breeders of glamour. And those are three criteria that we can hold in mind, all of us, to evaluate our reactions to life and circumstances. Does what we are experiencing or witnessing evoke a sense of criticism in us? A sense of superior knowledge? Does it evoke a sense of separativeness? Well, I'm not like that, or they are different from me, or they're not the same as we are. They're lower than we are. Or of pride, I'm special. God has a special role for me. I'm not like others. I have left that behind. All of those reactions are signs of glamour. And starting by applying those criteria, I think, is a very useful practice.
And also, she says that the use techniques of meditation are helpful, too, in overcoming much of the illusions, because it's in the plane of mind that it's on the plane of mind that we can only begin to see mm-hmm. the true reality. The meditation allows us to begin to detach and step back and be the observer of all of this stuff that surrounds us, and to look at it objectively from the position of the soul, for example, and see the illusion for what it is. And it's a matter of using meditation as a technique of mind control, controlling your own mind, being able to think and think through these questions that are facing us every day, and see the reality behind it. And if there is no basis in truth, then reject it.
And it also, meditation enables one to begin to see behind the outer realm of form to the inner meaning. And that's where we liberate ourselves from a lot of illusion and glamour, because we then aren't so fixed on the outer material aspect. And we can begin to see the substantial meaning and significance behind it. That is a key to freeing ourselves from glamour. Another is the cultivation of joy. Joy, we're told, lets in the light. And we should therefore be joyful, because where there's joy, there's little room for glamour and misunderstanding. That's a nice thought, I think, that if we can just simply cultivate the habit of joy, and I would say of gratitude, that can free us from desire, from craving, from feeling I don't have enough, from feeling I want more, I want this, I want that, I don't have that yet, then I'll be happy when I get that. Joy, gratitude can alleviate that sense of longing and desire.
And it's the attainment of freedom. I mean, we're a very freedom-loving country here, but we're far from being free. We're really imprisoning ourselves more and more. So it's also the attainment of freedom, true freedom.
Well, maybe we should talk next time about freedom, because that's one of the major glamours that I think we suffer from. Every individual is responsible for glamour, and we have to identify how we succumb to it. So, to be continued.
Okay. Once again, we have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that is the book called, the title of which is Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, including extracts on the subject of glamour, and it's available for $16. The uniqueness of the offer is that you get free shipping and handling, so you have to send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005, and mention that you heard about it on Inner Sight. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.